Hepatitis is an entirely preventable disease, and across the country we've been making inroads in reducing the national rate of infection. But that progress is leaving Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders behind. The National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, NACHO, reports that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders make up 3% of the population, but they're represented as 11% of newly reported cases of hepatitis C each year. Currently, Hep C can be cured with low-cost treatment, but Hep B does not have a cure. Dr. Mark Winnetong is the Public Health Medical Officer at Apunapima Cape York Health Centre, where he works with 17 remote communities in the region. The Wire's Sarah Martin asked him what the key challenges are to reducing the incidence of hepatitis in the communities.
Education is really important, but also access to needle and syringe exchanges if they need to, if there's IV drug use, etc. There's a few things around this, and as I was saying, like education by itself isn't enough. It's useful because it gives people their personal agency and they can, you know, make sure that they practice safely as they can. But having some structure as well and resources is really important, and that's kind of why I guess we've been pushing forth in the prison system for both needle and syringe exchanges and supplies of condoms for safe sex practices, etc. But that's still forthcoming, though.
Do you undertake screening programs there?
Most prisoners get screened on the way in. It's a little bit harder to screen people on the way out sometimes because of the way that the justice system works. But the main thing is good prevention inside, as well as picking up early identification inside and treating people before they get back outside, but at least letting people know before they go outside and start spreading things around again.
Do you get a lot of cooperation from within the prison system?
You know, the prison system's really happy to be supported in this sense. So it's both, you know, NGOs like ours, Community Control, plus Queensland Health, and Corrections as well. And we're all in that gig together. Corrections have been really, really good in most areas, but I think the sticky points have been needle and syringe exchanges, etc.
And is that just because there's that pushback on trying to eradicate drug use and IV needle use rather than deal with the safe supply of the equipment required?
No, that's more to do with security and safety around needles being available inside. As you would imagine, every possible and potential weapon they try and look for inside, from a security perspective. So it's one of those issues, and it is a tough issue, you know, like you have to look at the pros and cons of that. But in general terms, well, from the literature so far, there's never been an attack by a prisoner with a needle, from a needle and syringe exchange. So we think it's pretty safe, and we kind of also think it'd be safer to be stabbed by a clean needle than a dirty needle anyway, if you're going to get stabbed by a needle, because there's still stuff inside. And there's always access to things inside.
If people do have hepatitis, give me a rundown of what the symptoms are and potential lifelong effects of that disease are on an individual.
Hepatitis is basically just inflammation of the liver. And when we're talking about these types of hepatitis, we're talking about viral hepatitis, so inflammation caused by a virus. And it's usually Hep B and Hep C that we're mostly looking for. And within that, you can get a sudden acute illness. So that's, you know, fever, sweating, etc. And then on top of that, you can often get some of these signs of liver disease like yellow eyes, nausea, vomiting, and a few of those kind of, you know, just generally non-specific acute presentations. But the issue here is that you can go on and get chronic hepatitis. And from that, you can go on and get some types of liver cancer as well. And some of this, you know, if it goes on, you know, obviously becomes some liver cirrhosis and it becomes scarred and too damaged to work. So that's when people need a liver transplant.
What does screening look like? Is that a blood test?
Yeah, it has to be a blood test for these types of diseases. And look, often we in primary healthcare, we'll do these as an annual check. So it's not mandatory, but when we do our annual healthcare check on pretty much everyone we possibly can, so you don't have to be sick to get an annual healthcare check. So we try and do that across the whole population. We'll look for risk factors, so if somebody's been inside or somebody's got a previous history of intravenous drug use, etc., we'll really want to do that test.
Given that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples represent a high proportion of people living with hepatitis, what kind of programs do you think need to be done to adjust that and bring it down to at or below the national average?
The good part about this is that the programs we're talking about are fairly generic around prevention and education and support, particularly around sexually transmitted diseases. And we can kind of often lump STIs in with bloodborne viruses as well. a ramp up, particularly in prevention activities and health promotion around those issues, would be really, really useful. And as you may or may not be aware, a few governments ago, there was a big constriction, really, of services around sexual health promotion up our way. And, you know, and consequently, we've had an outbreak of syphilis across the Top End that probably started up on our side on the East Coast. So it's really important we keep momentum going when we do get it going, but that we also fund those programs that have been working in the past around prevention and education.
Dr. Mark Winnetong, Public Health Medical Officer at Apunapima Cape York Health Council, speaking with The Wire's Sarah Martin.